Hi, beautiful friends, and welcome back to the podcast. Today, we are diving into worth. How do we find our value and worth within ourselves? Because if we look for it in the world, it will continue to fail us. If we look for achievement and accomplishment to define our worth and our value, it will never last. We'll keep chasing the next thing. So my guest today is going to talk to us about worth. She's going to also talk to us about raising children, raising daughters up to really know from a young age that their worth comes from the inside, not from the outside. It's a great and powerful conversation, and I can't wait to share it with you. Welcome to Faith-Fueled Woman, a podcast designed for Christian women eager to deepen their faith and shine God's light in every aspect of their lives. Each week, we'll delve into practical strategies, inspiring stories, and biblical wisdom to equip you with the tools you need to navigate life's challenges and grow deeper in your faith. From finding calm in the chaos, forming deep Christian friendships, to everyday ways to connect with God, we'll cover it all. Hi, I'm your host, Kristen. I'm an encourager, a faith-led entrepreneur, a mom, and a wife. Let's be encouraged in our everyday lives as we let our faith guide us, fuel us, and fill us with God's incredible peace, wisdom, and joy in our lives. Hi, today on the podcast, I would like to welcome my guest, Nellie Harden. She's joined me before on one of my other podcasts, and I'm so excited she's joining me for Faith-Filled Woman. She is a wife, a mother to four teenage daughters, an author and speaker in the space of family, life, and leadership. She focuses on helping parents love and lead their teen and tween daughters in a way that teaches them to love and lead themselves while building a strong foundation of worth, esteem, and confidence all before they leave home. And what I love most of all is that she believes the best way to change the world is through one living room at a time. And I'm just excited for this conversation today. We're going to talk about worth. We're going to talk about building women and building our daughters and the next generation of women up. And we're just going to talk about what that looks like to support each other. And we're going to talk about, you know, what if maybe this is an area we struggle with, our worth. And we're going to talk about what can we do now to address that. So welcome, Nellie.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So can you just start off by telling the listeners a little bit about your backstory and what life looks like and how you help people, you know, in their parenting and just as women in general?
Absolutely. So, you know, like anything, I look back in life and I'm like, wow, everything's just been leading here. And I have not always felt that way, but that's when you're in the moments of building that you are invisible to right there, or they're hidden from you. But they do come to have purpose. And so, you know, when I was really young, I lost my dad when I was super young. I was just 1 year old when he passed away. And then it was just my mom and I, and she got remarried and had more kids. And I left home at 17. I graduated early. I left home. And, you know, just with many things happening in childhood, as many of us have, then I didn't really have these foundations, or certainly not, you know, rested on the bedrock of truth and faith back then. And as young women, when we are released out into the world without these foundations, we go chasing these attributes in any way we can. So we find ourselves chasing worth, especially, right? Any silvery, shiny thing that says, oh, come over here and then you'll be worthy. Do this and then you'll be worthy, right? It's an if then. It's a do and then a have and then a be instead of a be do have, right? And so that's what I found myself doing, unbeknownst to me. And I just thought I was doing what I should be doing and chasing these things and accolades and relationships and all sorts of things. And that led down some really dark paths for me that then have taken decades to heal from. And in the midst of my decades of healing, then I went through years of infertility, and then the pendulum swung the other way, and I had four daughters in 4 years, you know, with my husband. And so, and toward the latter part of having those four babies in 4 years, my husband ends up in ICU and we don't know if he's going to make it.
Oh my goodness.
And it was a heart condition. And it was about 2 years in and out of hospitals, doctors, medications, and it culminated in surgery. All of that to say, I was really gathering this evidence-based, it's like experiential-based, you know, learning. And my background, my study is in biology and psychology. And so all of my studying and all of my life experiences were really gathering up to this point of understanding what the needs are of a woman entering into the world, but also then turning around and saying, okay, I have four young women here right in front of me. And I remember having these thoughts in the hospital waiting room, waiting for my husband to get out of surgery. And we didn't know if he was going to make it or not. And I was like, I might have to do this on my own. But I have a certain amount of time to do this. And it's 6,570 days. Now, that's give or take, of course. That's how many days are in 18 years. And so I knew that there was this very special, very literally once in a lifetime experience of impact and influence that I or we, and my husband is still here today, so we have in our children's lives in order to build them up into what they could become. Mm-hmm. And so then, you know, it led down some other pathways there. One of my daughters, we almost lost in a drowning accident. And so I started really, you know, teaching on that and mindsets about that to other people that were less fortunate to have an almost drowning, right? My daughter is here today, and also safety and mindsets around family, and went into health because of my husband. And I've always been in these facets. COVID happened, right? How many stories have the but COVID elbow in them? But COVID happened. And during COVID, we were, you know, homeschooling before it was cool or mandated. And so we had already been homeschooling for several years at that point. And I had so many people reaching out and asking, how do I do this? How do you do this and not go insane and mad and crazy? And so I started really teaching on roles in the family and how to, you know, enter this new space with respect and discernment, right? And I could care less what curriculum you're using. I want to make sure that the dynamics in the house are working well. And that's what really turned, you know, my ship that I was going in the direction of family discipline toward what I have been doing for the last several years now. And that is helping families raise daughters with a foundation of worth, esteem, and confidence. Mm-hmm. And it's been so beautiful because it's a two-sided coin because of my own experience as a woman, but also then raising four young women today who are today, they are 14, 16, 16, and 18. I have twins in the middle. So they are really in the thick of it. And we as a family are in the thick of it. And we as parents are in the thick of it, raising these adolescent young women in a really, really distracted world. Yeah. And so we are doing all of that now, and we're teaching. But because I have these two aspects, two sides of the same coin, if you will, I really work with helping families proactively build these foundations on a solid bedrock before they leave home, and also reactively help women and young women build these foundations, or, you know, rebuild them if need be, if they've been stripped away by any sort of trauma or drama of life. And so that's really where we are, all centered around this beautiful foundation of worth, esteem, and confidence.
Mm. So good. Wow. Thank you for sharing all that. I mean, it really does give us some insight into what you've worked on and walked through. And then also how, like you said, it's kind of all the pieces came together for you to be able to raise your daughter in these beautiful ways with this foundation. And then also now help all these other families and women do the same as well. So that's so wonderful. And before we started recording, I shared that even if someone's listening to this and they don't themselves have daughters, like I don't, I have sons. So many of these concepts can speak to our own hearts. They can speak to the other women, the young women in our lives. I have lots of nieces. I have, hopefully one day I have three sons. I'll have daughter-in-laws or maybe granddaughters, right? And grandsons. So this, I think this information is so important and relevant, right? Both to the heart of, to every woman, right? The heart of every woman. And so I think it's such a good and important conversation. And, you know, maybe I'm biased here, but I think you may agree with this. Women are such the bedrock in homes, you know, often with homeschooling, if you do that, but also in just our calendars, you know, so much of what goes on in the home comes through the woman, right? And so I think it's so important for us to hear these conversations and to have these honest conversations. And so can you just share with us first, tell us about worth, and where do so many of us struggle with believing our worth, because I think a lot of us, you know, as women probably listening to this can relate to what you shared about your own story in trying to find in the world something or things that would make us feel worthy or make us feel like we might relate to that idea of wanting to achieve more or accomplish more before we felt like we had some level, we've arrived, right, to feel worthy.
Right. So
what can you share with us about that? If maybe some of the listeners, one, have been chasing those same things, and what, and then how do we apply that to the young women in our lives, you know, trying to help them before they get to that point?
Absolutely. And we're really talking about second half of childhood here. Yeah. If for anyone that's, you know, raising kids, but also for grown women as well. First half of childhood is really physiologic, you know, care and needs taken care of and security. But when we move into that second half, which can start, it's not a mathematical half. It is more of a transition into the second half of their maturing process, which can honestly happen and start happening as early as six or so. And so that's something to keep in mind. But with worth, it's very, very important to understand that it is an inside out process. If you seek worth outside in, it will be guaranteed to fail you. 100% guaranteed. We live in a fallen world. We live in a distracted world. And if you are trying to seek worth through things that can't actually feed you or people that could, but they're also, you know, broken and faulty in their own lives, right? Yeah. It will fail you every single time. So that's the first mindset to understand. It has to be inside out. Yeah. And what I mean by inside out is it can't even be you on the inside first. It needs to be God, self, outside world. That is the order of worth that we are. And when you take it back, you know, you read in Psalms how we are knit together in our mother's womb, right? We were here, or we are here on purpose for purpose. Yeah. And when we can really start to develop these understandings and really develop our relationship with Christ, then we can start to open this door and say, I don't need to achieve worthiness because I already am worthy, right? And, you know, you can never get there. I think you just said that, right? There's always something else, right? And that is true in the world. Right. But in Christ, you're already at the finish line before you ever started with worthiness. And so with our daughters and with ourselves, it's really important to get that concept down. I am worthy because I am created on purpose for purpose. I am worthy because I'm created on purpose for purpose, right?
Yeah.
And when you start to understand that the intentionality of the detail that goes into the creation of you and each one of those things was put there on purpose, I mean, wow, all of a sudden, you know, your nose, you don't hate as much, or, you know, whatever that is, yeah, that it bothers you about you, right? But you were created on purpose for purpose. And so there are five areas of worth that always have been, are, and will be. And when we see each one of these, which I'll tell you in a second, from that inside out perspective, we can start to really build this foundation. So the first one being, I am seen, right? I need to be seen. I need people to see me. There was this, I don't know if any of your listeners remember this, but it was maybe about 6-7 years ago. There was this experiment, I say with air quotes, that was going around with young children, and you would put them in the middle of the room, and you know, it was a trend, I would say, and put a blanket over them. And then you would say some word or do something, and then they would take it off. And all the adults around the room would pretend that they can't see them. They could only hear them. And these children, it was funny for about 6 seconds, and then it wasn't anymore. But it would still keep going because it was funny to the adults to see, you know, this child freaking out. But for that child, they could see her, right? And I normally saw this with young girls, maybe 5, 6, 7 years old. They could see her, but they could hear her, but they pretended anyway. And to her knowledge, the truth was they can't see me. Right. And it was, I'm right here. Look at me. Right. Yeah. And that is really plays deep into our psyche as humans. We need to be seen. Mm-hmm. And so when we look at that from Christ's perspective, he sees us. Yeah. He sees us every day, every moment. He sees us. And then we need to see ourselves for what we are, all the things that we have done. I just this morning, just a couple of hours ago, saw this saying that one of my distant cousins posted. And she said, so far, you have survived all of your worst days. Good job. You're doing great. You know? And it's so true. And we don't give ourselves that credit sometimes, right? Yeah. But we are here. We have survived all of the things that have been thrown at us so far. And give yourself credit for that, right? See yourself for the hero of your story that you are right there. And then with outside, right? You only need to be seen by a very small number of people. Our world today is going to tell you, no, you need 2 million. You need 3 million followers. Yes. Oh, you have, you know, just a handful of people that know you, that means you are not worth it, right?
Yes.
That term basic that we hear a lot today. There was a commercial not too long ago, and Raising for Young Women, this like broke my heart. And it was this person that was on the TV, and it was a commercial for some, I don't know, makeup or something. And it was loud and it was boisterous. And all these people were following this person by the end. And it said, if you are not like this, you are basic. Mm-hmm. And basic then has become this bad thing, right? And so when our young women, and when you and I and other women out there are hearing, oh, you're just basic. Oh, you are just, again, air quotes, a mom. You are just, you know, a stay-at-home mom. You just have this job. You just do that, right? That's when we're like, no, I can be more. I can be more. And then you run yourself ragged, and we get entwined in the thorns of hustle culture.
Right.
And we start to die on the inside because we're not seeing ourselves, and we are making it their job out there to see us. And that's not their job.
Oh, so true. That just, so, I have to check myself all the time with this. It's not, I try not to chase the numbers, but you know, when you're in industries like we are, you know, even if it's from a Christ-centered place, I have to be very careful to say my number's this, but like, gosh, but when is it going to get to here? And it's still a good number, right? But yet I have to always check in with myself and say, my job is to be loyal and faithful and showing up and consistent. It's not to make this some different number. That's still a lot of number that I'm touching and reaching. And I have to, so it's a constant thing that culture's continuing to tell us these messages. And so you're so right. I have to continue to come back to, hold on here, right? Like, that's not reality. This is something that people are trying to tell us we need. And I don't need anything more, right? Like, I don't need a different number. I don't need to be bigger. None of that. But I have to be very careful and then remind myself and then check in with God about that, you know? And so you're so right about that.
So true. And that reminds me of just a few weeks ago, I was at a conference. I wasn't speaking at this one, but I sat next to one of the speakers. My daughter was actually playing drums for the concert. I mean, a conference. Yeah. And it was a concert for her part. But anyway, this woman was there and she was telling me, you know, oh, I have this speaking and I have this. And she was like, it's so exhausting, right? We know it's so exhausting as women to have to go out there and achieve these accolades and these, you know, vanity metrics of whatever it is, you know, with you, maybe it's serving hours, maybe it's volunteer hours at the school, the elementary school or what have you, but these metrics. And I was telling her, I was like, yeah, it is exhausting. And I do not like that game, right? And I was telling her about some of the work that I do. And I just had a book that went down and is in rescue homes for traffic victims down in Guatemala. And she just looked at me and she goes, you are doing the real work. This, none of this matters. That matters, right? And I was just like, oh, man, thank you, you know?
Absolutely. Well, right. We do have to, like you said, we have to be careful to remember who it matters sees us, right?
And yes.
We don't need a big number because we can impact just one person, right? And hopefully the people in our homes as well.
Right. Absolutely. Okay. So that is seen, right? We need to be seen. And the next one is we need to be heard.
Yes.
And so we have been equipped with these beautiful minds that have very personalized, very unique ideas and problem solving abilities. And so with our kids and, you know, with us, we've all had that feeling where we're in a meeting or we're within a group of friends or what have you, and you feel like you're being railroaded, right? You feel like no one cares what I have to say. Maybe you try to speak up and someone cuts you off, right? And you're like, oh, I don't matter. My ideas don't matter, right? I can guarantee almost every single woman has felt that way before.
Right.
And again, we need to know God hears us. Through our prayers, through our everyday, our thoughts, right? Yeah. All of those, God hears us over and over again. We are reminded when you're reading through scripture, he hears us. Personally, intimately, he hears us. And we want to practice, get in practice of hearing him as well. Yeah. But so he hears us, and then we need to hear us as well. Yes. And that just comes with a simple question of, what do I really need right now? Like, I journal every single day. That honestly, thinking and journaling and having some prayer in there is my favorite thing to do. I often think, I'm like, maybe I was, you know, I do believe I was born for such a time as this and I'm born at the right time, but I can see myself as like these ancient philosophers just sitting and thinking all day. Yes. I could totally do that.
Me too.
But you know, our voices and really asking myself, okay, this is what the surface me wants right now. And honestly, this could come off as I want vengeance right now. I want to eat right now. I want to just be a sloth and veg and everything right now today. But those are just the surface things. What do you really actually need, right? And that is hearing yourself and getting down to the root issue of whatever's happening in your life. And then again, the world. So surround yourself by people that will hear you, right? And don't surround yourself by people that you're going to be silenced by. And I don't say that to mean conform to a crowd that will give you a platform. That is not what I mean at all. What I mean is surround yourself by people that are respectful, kind, compassionate, friends that will hear you out. And that list does not need to be big. Brené Brown, who I worked with for a few years ago, she has the 1-inch by 1-inch piece of paper. She goes, everyone that is in your very close circle that is truly those, you know, those people that you speak to and they speak into you, 1-inch by 1-inch piece of paper. And that is not writing microscopically. So you can get 25 on there, right?
Right.
It is maybe 1, 2, 3, you know, 4, maybe 5 people, but that's really it. And the rest of the world is ancillary to that.
Yeah.
And so be heard. So seen, heard, loved. It is essential. It isn't, you know, we were created in God's image. God is love. He created, he embodied love in Christ. That's what he was. We are created to love and be loved. And so when that is missing out of our lives, really worth takes a nosedive, right? And so really understanding that there is love. Now, we, especially as women, can be blind to it sometimes, right? Because we're like, we feel like we're taken for granted and, oh, you know, whatever, whatever, whatever. And even when our kids say it or when our spouses say it, we're like, oh yeah, they're just saying it because they feel like they have to say it. But really take that in. Somebody loves you, right? You are first loved by God. You need to love yourself and then find love in the world. So seen, heard, love, belonging. Belonging is the next pillar of worth right there. We all need to belong. We all absolutely need to belong. And when you look at the opposite of all of these that I'm sharing with you, right? If you're not seen, you're invisible. If you're not heard, you are silenced. If you are not loved, you're unloved. If you don't belong, or if you, yeah, don't belong, then you don't belong anywhere. You feel like you are just untethered and there's no purpose, which leads us into the last one, which is purpose. But I want to touch on belonging for a second. when you look at the antithesis or the opposite of all of these, I challenge you, any of your listeners, to see what problems are happening on an individual and a group, maybe even a country level, right? But on an individual level, everything boils down to these. When people are hurting, it usually, all the time, actually, I'm going to say all the time, boils down to one or more of these. I don't feel loved. I don't feel like I matter. I don't feel like anyone sees me. I don't feel like anyone listens to me, right? That is what we are hearing from so many hurting out there today.
Absolutely. Well, and you're so right. I mean, all of them for sure. And, you know, belonging, like you said, if you don't have a community, I mean, we were actually, that's how we're created, right? Was to live in community. I mean, way back, it would have been tribes, but that was how you hurt someone, right? Is if they were kicked out of the tribe because you were known right. to not be able to survive way back. Now we live in a different time where that's not necessarily true. We could still survive, but we're not going to thrive, right? We need right. community of some sort, right? And that could be family. That could be a church community. That could just be, you know, friendships. It could be, hopefully it's all those things, right? If we're really thriving, but absolutely. And like you said, purpose. I mean, I know so much has been said about that. You know, it's the opposite of depression, right? I mean, in other words, you need purpose. And I mean, it's even in the scales, you would know more about this, but of psychology, right? When they look at like where you're at, it's, you need some sort of purpose. You need some, you need to be tied to something else. And when you're not, that's when we start struggling with some of the, you know, different mental health things. I mean, I'm not saying that's the only thing, but right. it's so important, like you said, to have a reason for getting up, to know that we matter in the world.
Absolutely. And, you know, I don't want anyone to think like, oh, I have to figure out my life purpose right. today. That's not what I'm talking about. Right. And that's not what we're talking about here. It could be, right? Mm-hmm. But it also could just be, I'm meeting someone for lunch tomorrow. So I need to get up tomorrow in order to go do that. And when we're raising our kids, especially in this very distracted, heavy hustle culture world, right? Mm-hmm. It's important. I mean, something so simple, you guys, as a family calendar that has everything on there, right? And so I have this giant calendar right here behind me. And that has all of our family vacations that we're going on, anyone's performances that they have, right? It is something forward that we're marching toward.
Yes.
So that's what I'm talking about with purpose too. It is something that you are moving toward, you are working toward, yes. stepping toward. And so to your point, I love it because I always say, we want to wake up in the morning saying, how can I serve the world today with my unique talents and gifts, right? How can I be of service to the world? Not what 90% of the world is waking up in today and saying, how is the world going to define me today? What is the world going to do to me today? Right. right? And that is the downward spiral that we're kind of stuck in because we're listening to the world right. and having that false sense versus God, self, world.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and I can't think of a quote. Maybe I'll share it in this episode later, but when I go to edit it, but you know, if we have to have hope that the future is going to be better than the past. And when we don't have that perspective, right, that's when things can get a little bit rocky. And so to your point, it could be anything, but I think it's also like you just said, waking up, we're not saying that like you have this calling, you know, some people, yes, they might have this calling after like, this is the work I'm meant to do. But for a lot of us, we're going to change and that's going to shift, you know, move around. But it's the purpose that every day we can show up and we can matter because we smiled at someone, because we said hello, because we, you know, we encourage someone. So in other words, it's all the things we do. It's all the little things we do. It's not right. just, you know, a purpose because we go and we serve in a certain way in our work. You know, that's important right. too, but that is not, like you said, that is not what we were specifically talking about here.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's a woman that I've been working with for a little while now and mm-hmm. just her, and she was able just through some simple conversations we had to drop decades of harmful guilt and shame that she's been harboring. Mm-hmm. And I got the text from her yesterday and she was telling me just, you know, because of you and our conversations, mm-hmm. this is what I've been able to do. And I was like, it was like, drop the mic if I do nothing else in my yes. life, right? You know? And just the smile. There's so many people that go through today. I mean, my kids are in public high school right now, and I've asked them before during our one-on-one times, I'm like, so how many people smile as they're going throughout the halls? And they're like, oh, hardly anyone. Yep. So my daughter, Lana, she's like, I just try to smile as I'm going down the halls because it might be the only one that they see that day, absolutely. You know? And I'm like, oh, I love that. And that is such a gift, just smiling at people, not in a weird way, in a good way, you know, just smile.
Well, I think, you know, you said something about sort of our country. I mean, I'd say it's even the world. Mm. Yeah, just about the smile thing. I mean, every time I go everywhere, I try to look at people in the eyes, right? Yes. People I don't know, in the grocery store. It doesn't matter where I'm at. But you'd be shocked at how many people never look at you. They never make eye contact. And they surely aren't smiling at you. And, you know, if I can, I try to say hello or something. But, you know, a lot of it comes down to all these small things that we're not doing together. We're avoiding each other. We're avoiding contact. We're avoiding communication. I mean, some of this was already happening well before COVID, but it's gotten worse since COVID happened, and people have disconnected, you know, they've untethered further, at least some people. And so, you know, I think to your point, it's so important that these little things matter, right? They matter to us because we're showing up to engage, but they matter to other people too. And so, you know, even our work, when you do these little things for people, you wrote a thank you to somebody, you gave them flowers for no reason. Like, those things actually impact us feeling better, and not because we're trying to feel better, but it's because we're doing something out of love, out of kindness.
Absolutely. There was my husband and I serve in youth ministry. And so we were at youth one night, and there was this young woman that came in, and she was incredibly just inwardly turned. She was so, so shy, no eye contact, right? Didn't want to talk to anybody. And one of my daughters actually went up and was like, hey, how are you? You know, and she was taken aback, still no eye contact, still no words. And she was like, let me show you around the church, right? And so she went and showed her around. They came back maybe 10 minutes later. This girl's face was smiling. She was lit up. She still didn't talk to anyone else, but she had found somebody that poured worth into her from the outside so that she was able to see, wait, God actually loves me, right? And it might not have been that night, but that's the steps that we're taking to go forward. So yes, we need to show people. So many times they're shut down. They don't want to have eye contact because they're like, I've been hurt so many times. I don't want to be hurt again, right? I've been disappointed so many times. I don't want to be disappointed again. And so they just turn inward. And so if we can just open that up through our love, right? And our care, so many people, you know, are hurting people out there, but hurt people hurt people. And so when we can not take so much offense. I'm reading a great book right now. It's actually right here. How's Your Soul by Judah Smith. And it's a great book. And chapter 5 is all about love. And I recommend it literally to anybody. I think the whole book is great. But if you buy this book, just buy it for chapter 5. It's so good. But just really talking about speaking into one another with love and what that means. And it bears all things, hopes all things, believes all things, endures all things, and what that actually practically looks like in the world today. And that's what we need to do for one another, right? Show God's love to one another.
Yeah. I have another question for you, but before I ask that, I would just, I have another example of that. For years, my husband joined me in another group of adults. These were parents, grandparents, people in the community. We did a program at the elementary school called Lunch Buddies. So we would sit with kids that were identified that this could benefit them. And of course, the parents, you know, had to give permission. And so we would sit with them once a month, and you're paired up at different lunchtimes with different kids. And some kids would want to talk, but there's a lot of kids, right? They were identified to be in that program because maybe they were struggling with self-esteem or worth, or maybe they had a parent that had some challenges, or maybe their parent was overseas serving. And so sometimes you just found that you just had to, you know, play tic-tac-toe with them, or you had to do something that was maybe not very verbal, or, you know, you'd have to ask them about what they were interested in. Right. Yeah. And so you weren't there for, you know, in other words, the conversations wouldn't look like maybe an adult would have wanted. It was so that you were there to kind of, it might, you know, to raise them up, but it might've taken months, right? Before that kid would kind of come out of his shell. But years later, kids would come and see me, you know, in the neighborhood or at the middle school and say, you know, come talk to me, you know, or they would say, gosh, the picnic we had, you know, I still remember that. And it was so amazing. I never had a picnic before, but it's things like that. You have to come to where people are at. And I'm guessing right. You could share something about that with our daughters or our friends. In other words, often it's not just what we're teaching, but it's how we're speaking to them, how we're, like you said this earlier, you said something about it's, we're speaking into them because of who we know they can become. So yes. What would you just share with us about as we're raising our children, you know, our daughters, and as we're just speaking into other women in our lives, you know, what is it we can, how can we better speak into their lives, I guess is what I'm asking.
Well, just really understanding that they're all different. Every one of us is different. I call women, we're all pieces of Eve, right? And so we're all very different. And for me, I'm raising four daughters. They are four corners of a square. They are all incredibly different young women. Mm-hmm. And that means as a parent, I need to parent them all differently to adapt to their learning styles and their teaching. So learning and teaching is like breathing. Everything we take in is learning. Everything that goes out of us is teaching. I mean, even when we're super young, right? You know, 3, 4, it is learning and teaching and learning and teaching. And so getting to know the learning and teaching styles, and that teaching is very influenced by personality. Yeah. So getting to know personality and learning styles of our kids will help you understand, okay, this is how I need to talk with her or discipline her in order to make sure that she hears the message, right? And heeds the advice and the guidance and that we go somewhere with it, right? Mm-hmm. If you try to do everybody the same, you might get one person that, you know, one friend or what have you that is able to listen to you, but you need to meet people exactly what you said, where they are at. Mm-hmm. And so for some people, it's just going and standing by them and really being a listening ear, right? They have a lot to say. Maybe they have a lot of, you know, unworthiness in their past. Maybe they haven't been seen or heard a lot. So they have a lot to say. So you just listen. Mm-hmm. And then other people are going to want to just hear, right? They need someone feeding truth and light into them. So be that for them. So just observe, get to know people. Mm-hmm. Don't walk into, you know, the room and say, I'm here, everyone hear me, right? Walk into a room and be quiet and just observe what people are needing. Mm-hmm. You can tell so much by where their eyes are going, their body language. Over 90% of what we communicate to others is not verbal. Right. 90% is body language. And so just really observing, and this really goes with our kids, right? Watch what they're doing when you're talking to them. Are they actually listening and taking it in? Or are they looking around and not taking anything in? Are they turning inward because they feel guilt and shame? Like, what is going on? And then feed into your behavior into their needs.
Yeah, so good. So let me ask you this. What would you just want to share with listeners to just encourage them, right? In their lives and in their homes, you know, as we start to wrap up the episode.
Absolutely. I always just want to say it is never too late. It is never too late. And honestly, it's also never too early as well. If you're on, you know, one side of the spectrum there, it's never too late as a parent or as an individual woman to say, you know what? I need to build these within myself. Mm-hmm. And so for myself, I didn't have these. And so I had to build them as an adult. And it's much harder to do as an adult. And I'm not saying that to say, don't try. It is just much harder because this frontal lobe that we have that's right under our forehead here is really fully formed by about 25. There is some plasticity in there, some, you know, movability in there that we can sever and make more connections. But really the vast majority of that development happens before 25 and really before 18 too. But it's just really kind of the concrete is done being cured by 25. We'll put it that way. And so you're going to have to take a jackhammer to some things is what I'm saying. And that's what I had to do. I had to take a jackhammer to some of my very, you know, set in stone belief systems about myself, values or lack of values about myself. And then I needed to re-pour and re-cure after that. And as adults, when you're going through this, sometimes your knee-jerk response is going to be, I'm going back to, you know, what I thought before. But then you have to have this moment of clarity and say, nope, that's not where I'm going. I am worthy. God does see me. I am, you know, heard. My voice matters. My gifts and talents matter. I was born for such a time as this. All of these things, right? And so building that as an adult, it's never too late. You can absolutely do it. Love to help you. I know everyone here would love to help you too. So yeah, you can get started at any time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I'll just add, I mean, while I love that you work helping people, especially, you know, families with daughters, women with daughters, and then women, right, that need to also do some of this work, it's all these things apply to all of us, right? Having sons, yes. You know, we've had some since COVID, right? It's been hard for one of my sons. You know, he's struggled a bit. And some of this is so true. Right, the things he tells himself, the things he believes. But to your point, I know, you know, he went away to college and ended up coming home. But the point is I know some of these things, it's because his beliefs didn't match with what is true, right? What's God's truth. And so that's still work we're doing. But the good news is I know it is still work we can do and can help him with. And so, you know, just encourage anybody. This is, we need all five of these things for everybody, right? Of course, not just women, even though that's so important for women to have these things. And it's probably more common for women to struggle with some of these things, for instance, worth especially. But So I just wanted to share that because I think, I just hope that encourages, you know, somebody, even if you don't have daughters yourself. Nellie, can you share with us, how can people connect with you, find out more about your programs and everything else that you have on your website?
Absolutely. Yeah. My website is the corridor to it all. I like to keep it simple and consolidated. The world is crazy out there. So keep it nice and simple, right? I think the very, very first blog I ever had 2+ decades ago was called Consolidating Chaos. And I still keep that mentality. On there you will find resources. There's downloads that you can have that will help you in your home. There is podcasts, there is articles, there is masterclasses, books, and then the program Take the Lead, which is all about loving and leading them to a place that they can love and lead themselves before they leave home. So, yep, all of and our social communities and all of that can be found on the website, NellieHardin.com.
Wonderful. Well, Nellie, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing with us those five areas where we really need to make sure that we're, you know, filling our bucket, that we're listening to God's truth in our lives and listening to ourselves and coming from that foundational place, right, of his truth in our lives before we show up in the world, you know, looking for those things. So thank you for joining me today and sharing all of your content and knowledge.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely.
And I just wanted to wrap up today's episode by letting you know that our conversation today about worth is so important. Each of these things matter so much that we all feel these things, the sense of worth. And I love how Nellie clearly and so lovely broke them down for us. I just had an interview with a woman I met years ago, and she talked about all the things she's walked through in this life. And I have to tell you, one or two of the times where she struggled the most in her life was when she didn't feel like she belonged, when she didn't feel like she could overcome the failure of losing money for a business that she had. And so these things are so important. So I just want to, you know, emphasize that they're worth taking the time to look at in our own lives and really to reflect and take time to look at this and how we get our worth in our life. And then also I wanted to let you know, I have a free workbook that's now available called Reignite Your Passion that breaks down for you really getting to know what your priorities and values are, what's your why, how did God make you, what is he calling you to? So it really aligns well with this conversation today. So I would love for you to grab that. Just go to kristenfitch.com and go to the freebies page and you can download that for free.
Thanks again for listening to the show. And if you enjoyed today's episode, we would love it if you could take a minute to leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, because it helps our show get discovered by more people. And if you'd like to be encouraged in your faith and in your life, go on to kristenfitch.com and sign up to get my newsletter. I have lots of freebies and lots of inspiration and encouragement that'll be coming your way. And I would love it if you joined part of our community.